that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Come look at the freaks.
Welcome to your pre-Halloween weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Opening tonight at Butte College, a Broadway musical called Sideshow, based on true events involving conjoined twin sisters, Daisy and Violet Hilton, in the 1930s. For years, they were displayed as curiosities, freaks in a carnival sideshow. But then they found a successful career as a singing duo on the vaudeville stage. We'll be visiting Butte's Black Box Theater to talk with the director and several cast members from Sideshow, the musical. We'll also be talking with the coordinator and one of the participants from a program called Diverse Minds, promoting mental wellness and healing by getting people to create art. Pieces by some of those participants will be on display at MUNCA, the Museum of Northern California Art. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Tonight, on screen at the Cascade Theater in Reading, Alfred Hitchcock's 1960 cinema masterpiece, Psycho. The showing for the Halloween season includes a costume contest, a karaoke competition, and themed drinks. The party begins at 6, the movie at 7. Tomorrow evening at the Cascade, Country Music Hall of Famer Kris Kristofferson is joined by Ben Haggard, son of Merle, for a concert benefiting the Car Fire Disaster Relief. This night of music begins at 7:30. Axiom Repertory Theater in Reading presents The Rocky Horror Show live on stage. Performances tonight and tomorrow are sold out, but at present there are still tickets for the final two performances. Tuesdays is at Old City Hall, Wednesdays is at the Cascade Theater. In both venues, the madness begins at 7:30. Costumes are encouraged. At the Orland Arts Center, the exhibit A Handsome Harvest features paintings by Marilyn Walsh and ceramics by Michelle Turner. The center's open Tuesday through Saturday, 1 to 6. In Chico tonight, at the university's Laxon Auditorium, Cirque Mechaniques. This menagerie of marvels includes strongmen, aerialists, a galloping mechanical metal horse, and of course, some clowning around. The fun starts at 7:30. Sunday at Laxon, Mariachi Herencia de Mexico. These young performers, aged 10 through 18, from Chicago's immigrant barrios, redefine how we see and hear mariachi music. This musical fiesta begins at 7:30. Sunday, in the Zing Recital Hall at Chico State, composer and guitarist David Devorin presents his original compositions influenced by all forms of the blues. The concert begins at 2 o'clock. Tonight and tomorrow only at the Blue Room Theater in Chico, Oh My Gods, a Halloween burlesque. Four chances to feast your eyes on these titillating festivities. Tonight at 7:30 or 10:30, and tomorrow night at 7:30 or 10:30. On Chico's gallery walls, Sunday, 1078 Gallery closes the exhibit Just Lying on the Grass, paintings by Wyatt Hersey. 1078 is open tomorrow 12:30 to 5:30, and Sunday from noon to 3. At MONCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, It's the final days for the photography exhibit Black and White in Black and White, Images of Dignity, Hope, and Diversity in America. Moncka's hours tomorrow and Sunday, 11 to 5. In Chico State's Humanities Building, the Janet Turner Print Museum has a show, Deep Etch, Legends of Chico Printmaking, displaying works by former members of the university's art faculty. The Turner's open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. At the Acting Company in Yuba City, just three more performances of the musical Gypsy, tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30, and the final show Sunday at 2. That's the calendar for this week. Born this date, singer and civil rights activist Mahalia Jackson. Without a song, Jackson declared, each day would be a century.
I'm here at Butte College's Black Box Theater in the Arts Building on the main campus of Butte. We're talking about the musical that opens tonight. It's a musical called Sideshow. Here's the director, Jesse Mers.
This is inspired by real events. We're in the 1930s. We learn about Daisy and Violet Hilton, who are conjoined twins, who at the beginning of the show are in a sideshow. And the plot is about them taking their shot at the big times and trying to join vaudeville and leave behind their kind of seedy but actually loving community of the sideshow.
This show was a big production on Broadway only about 4 years ago. Tell me about the music and how it brings people into the emotional world of these two conjoined sisters.
What I kept getting really surprised by was how moving the music is, especially because we have six musicians putting their heart and soul into the music, live musicians collaborating with our live singers right in front of your faces in the intimate Black Box Theater. Some beautiful melodies, and I think you'll be really surprised by the voices that we have.
Now I'm here with David Loporina, a member of the cast of Sideshow, the musical at Butte College.
My character is Jake. He's the best friend of the twins. He was hired on to protect them during their time at the sideshow. While he was there with them, they developed a deep bond with one another, you know, friendship, kind of brotherly love.
Are you a freak yourself, your character?
He's actually not a freak. The only thing that makes him different is that he's a person of color. And during that time, you might as well have been a freak because you were different.
So because this show, which is set in the 30s, is about people's fascination and fear of the other, does this show resonate for you? Being of Latino descent yourself, your group is being demonized in so many ways in our society now.
What we see every day now on today's news is, you know, how we're not supposed to be here, how we're not welcome. We're the problem in the United States. I am of Latino and Native American descent, sitting on both sides of the fence where this is my country just because I am of Native American descent. And then at the same time, my ancestors also came from across the sea or just over the land itself. And we're being treated as not welcome.
Tell me about one of the musical moments in the show you really enjoy performing it yourself.
One song I sing is called You Should Be Loved. In that song, Jake is confessing himself to Violet Hilton. It's the culmination of all the past years he was with the twins, and it's just this explosive, giant song, an amazing, amazing musical piece. It's just so much fun to do.
We have another actor from the cast of Sideshow.
My name is Matthew Stone, and I play Terry Connor, a former vaudeville agent who is kind of had some hard luck in the business. He comes to this Sideshow and sees these two conjoined twins performing and thinks that he could turn them into a successful vaudeville act.
You sort of become romantically involved with one of the sisters, although I don't know how much of it is you're trying to exploit them as an act for show business and how much is sincere feeling.
When he first meets them, he likes them because he sees that he can be successful with them. But as he begins developing their skills and their act, there is definitely a change in his feelings toward one of the sisters. That is a bit of a conflict emotionally. These sisters are conjoined, so even in today's world, don't really have an answer for how a relationship like that would work, where two people are never really alone.
Describe a musical moment you love performing.
One of my songs, it comes very early in the show, right after I first meet the sisters. I'm trying to convince them to leave the Sideshow and try and start a career. And I really want them to come with me and try and be a successful vaudeville act. You know, I really know how this business works, and I think I can get you where you should be.
We're here at Butte College Black Box Theater. They're getting ready for opening night tonight of Sideshow, the musical. And we have another member of the cast.
I'm Alex Limper, and I'm playing the part of Buddy Foster, a musician working alongside the character Terry. They're looking for talent. When they come across the Sideshow, they meet the twins.
There's perhaps some kind of love interest that happens between you and one of the sisters. What's it like for your character to become involved with a woman conjoined at the hip with her sister?
Buddy is a more complex character in that there's somebody else he would rather be with, actually. But his love for Violet is true, but it's not the love that you might expect.
Tell me about your favorite musical moments you perform in the show.
1+1=3 is the name of a song that's a very fun song. It's got a quick tempo, it's got a jazzy sound to it, but there's also a great wedding show. There's mixed emotions in that number where the main characters are on stage and they're all feeling kind of apprehensive about the wedding that's going to take place, but all the ensemble characters are very happy and bouncy. It's a nice contrast musically speaking.
And now we have one of the lead actors in the show, Sammy Bertola. She plays one of the conjoined Hilton sisters, Violet.
She is on the left side when you're watching the show. It's actually been quite an experience being attached to someone during this whole process. It's a lot harder than I thought it would be. It gets a lot hotter, too, because with the lights and everything. But it's a great experience. She's a great character. Definitely way more reserved than her sister, and they're definitely opposites, which is also another struggle that they face being attached at the hip, quite literally.
You know, I was thinking being an actor might be a great background for being in this role, because as an actor, you're exposed, you're vulnerable, you're displayed before the public. And I think all of us have some sort of self-consciousness about our physical presence. With a role like this, that's magnified. So is your background as an actor, does it help you to get into the whole mental, emotional space of this character?
Definitely. I think everyone in their life has felt like a freak somehow or some way. And I think that vulnerability on the stage definitely does come alive because you are on display. These girls are based off of real people who were on display their whole entire life. They were pretty much like a zoo exhibit or a museum exhibit, and people didn't treat them as people. And it kind of like makes you step back and think, wow, do I do this to other people in my life, or have I felt like this? And most of the time it's yes.
What's it been like for you being in this role where your character is permanently attached at the hip to your sister?
It can be difficult at times. I grew up with a lot of step-siblings. One was actually 8 days apart from me, my stepsister, and so we were practically twins, even though we weren't blood related, and I fought with her a lot, and just the idea of having her attached to my hip is just crazy. And so the fact they were able to live like that and live so closely, like you have no privacy, and the only way that they were ever allowed to get privacy was in their own mind, is just absolutely astonishing to me. It's been really difficult to try to get in that kind of headspace of being attached to someone.
Tell me about one of your favorite musical moments to perform in this show.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I would have to say at the end of Act One, when we do Who Will Love Me As I Am, I just feel like it's such a powerful song because I think we've all felt that before, where no one does, like, you have to love yourself first before other people can love you is such a big thing. And this show definitely showcases that. It shows them trying to love themselves in order to be loved.
What's it like for you to immerse yourself in this milieu of the sideshow, the freak show? It's kind of the underbelly of show business.
It is, but it definitely, that was the only way they can make money. People with malformations and disabilities, they didn't really have a way to make money in the 30s. It was the only way that they could ever be fed, and they kind of found a home. Most of the time, their families rejected them or didn't want them or put them in orphanages, and they would get sent to these sideshows, and they would become this weird but loving family because they all had their own unique look on the world. And I just find that so beautiful, because even though they were in a situation where they were getting beaten and looked at and put on display, they still like had such love for each other.
And this is set in the 1930s. That was one of the most dark times in American history because it was the Great Depression.
Yeah, it was definitely a struggle for a lot of people in America, especially for sideshows, because they were getting shut down at that time. People, do-gooders, like as they reference in the show, start shutting down sideshows because people start having a heart for people, you know, with disabilities, and they're like, this is wrong, we shouldn't put them on display. So they start shutting down sideshows, which also ended up having a lot of people that were labeled as freaks without work.
Now I'm here with Kyla Davidson.
My character is Daisy Hilton. She's more fiery than Violet is. Violet's a lot more level-headed. Daisy runs on emotions and is very, you know, take charge of the situation, let people know what she wants. She really wants to be a star.
Tell me what it's like to be conjoined with another human being, like permanently connected to your sister, but still she's a separate person.
It's hard. When we do this show, we walk connected the entire show. Sammy and I, she plays Violet, we've both been dancing for years, but it's definitely been a new challenge to dance connected to somebody else. The whole theme of the show is them being connected, and you get to see this beautiful friendship that they have, how close they are, and how they're like one person, even though they're two different people. But you also get to see the struggles that they have, trying to find love, trying to have separate careers. They've got somebody else next to them the whole time.
Tell me about one of your favorite musical moments to perform in this show.
I have to say, towards the end of Act One, where Daisy and Violet are having this discussion that leads into our final song that ends the first act, which is Who Will Love Me As I Am. It's just this beautiful moment. It's just Sammy and I together, and we're having this kind of sister argument. But then the sister argument feeds into this very tender, strong moment. That's my favorite moment in the whole show. When everybody, you know, comes on and we end the first act, it just feels so powerful.
We've been talking with one of the two leads from Sideshow, the musical, at Butte College. It's in the Black Box Theater on the main campus, and it opens tonight. It plays tomorrow night, Sunday afternoon, and also next weekend, Friday, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. See The Freak Show, but also a tender, heartfelt musical.
This is Dolores Mitchell. Today I'm speaking with Andrea Wagner, the outreach coordinator of Diverse Minds, a four-day art show hosted by MONCA at 900 The Esplanade in Chico. I'm also speaking with David Andrek, the peer supporter of Diverse Minds. Andrea, give us some background on Diverse Minds, how it's supported, and what agencies it's connected with.
Diverse Minds North State is a program promoting arts for wellness and mental health throughout Northern California. We are supported by the Iverson Wellness and Recovery Center in Chico, an agency of Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, and contracted with Butte County Behavioral Health. Our funding comes from the Mental Health Services Act for innovative ways to address mental health in the communities. Our program, this is our fourth year in producing an annual publication of art and writing. This is our first year doing an art show.
David, you're going to be quite a contributor.
Yes, I'm very glad to be with this art show. I'm planning on bringing some multimedia art into MONCA. I'm bringing in animation as well as music. My projects have been shown on BCAC TV, also Chico Independent Film Festival, as well as the Diverse Minds Film Festival last year.
Andrea, in your opinion, how do the arts relate to mental health?
In my own experience, I've always struggled with my own anxiety and depression and bipolar disorder. Writing has always been a part of my life to help me. It wasn't until I started attending the Iverson Center that I was able to use my experience as a journalist to help other people with their own mental health. Being creative in and of itself is very therapeutic. I would love to see more people being able to have art in their lives because it helps our mental health. It helps us to be well. When we're creating art, we find parts of ourselves that we didn't know were there. Feelings and emotions come out that don't come out through conversation and through traditional therapy. By bringing arts into the mental wellness community, it changed my life. I see it changing people's lives every day. I've made it my mission to expand the arts within the mental health community across Northern California and find a way for us to network wellness through community and art.
How far does your program reach in Northern California?
Our main focus is the 16 northernmost counties of California. Right now, we have at least 9 counties represented in our art show, as far away as Eureka, Wairika, even the little community of Aden up in Modoc County. We have people coming from pretty much every corner of the North State to be part of this. They're all connected with wellness centers in those different areas. Some other people independently have submitted. There are a lot of artists that struggle with mental illness. I think bringing the two together is a natural partnership.
For the first few years, it was the journal publication that was your main way to acknowledge the creativity of the participants. Did you get any feedback on what it meant to them?
Absolutely. The first 2 years, we centered on just the Chico area community in Butte County. At the end of every publication, we would have a release party and invite the people that contributed to come up and either talk about the art that they submitted or to read their pieces. To me, that's really the icing on the whole cake. Hearing people tell their stories about their experiences and to see the expression in their face when they know that they can share it openly and it's acknowledged as beautiful and part of the journey, just to see their pride in being published and their pride in being accepted. That really is what motivates this whole thing. People create and they're also connecting by showing what they've created. A lot of the people in our mental health community feel ostracized. They feel excluded. By being able to contribute their art, they're part of that community again. They're included. That's one of the main reasons we do this. We also do it to show the community people who have mental health struggles can do great things. They're amazing. Just because they may struggle in one area doesn't mean that they don't excel in other areas. Part of our goal is also to introduce that and kind of reduce the stigma that people have against mental health. Primarily, it's to honor those people for their creativity.
How did you think of introducing the visual arts element in an exhibition?
I've met with a lot of people in the other counties as we're starting to grow this project. Somebody had mentioned to me, we'd like to do a mobile art show in our community, and they had this tiny little community in the North State. I thought, man, we have art in the journal every year. That'd be amazing if we could actually show the art in color, because our book has been published in black and white. My brain started making those connections, and I thought, we have to have a show. Luckily, I had met with Pat Macias at Monca, and she was on board. She's a big promoter of arts in Northern California, and she saw my vision. I've never hung a piece of art in a museum. I don't know what that's like, but I'm learning really quickly, and we're developing this amazing show where people are getting their work out in public. Giving people a venue for their art is a whole part of the healing process. It's one thing to be published, but it's a whole other thing to stand in a museum and have someone come look at your piece of art and openly be in awe of what you can do.
David, can you take the listeners through your process of creating such a project?
I work with certain softwares, Photoshop and different types of multimedia softwares. Every day, I find myself a little inspired, and I work a little bit on my art. I have a handful of characters that I work on in animations. I like the ideas of storylines. I'm working on that, getting myself a little better, a little at a time. You know, I just overall have a lot of fun, and my process is growing. The most important thing when it comes to technology, I believe, is patience and the curiosity to explore the technology.
David, there's going to be many people coming to this exhibition that will be fascinated with your multimedia presentation and will want to know more about it. Are you going to be there to chat with people?
Yes, I will be. I believe there'll be times throughout the exhibition that I will be available. I'll also have my information there.
Andrea, give us the details of the dates.
Our art show is going to be at Monca on display from November 1st to November 4th. They are open from 11 to 5, and the show will be open during those times. We are also having a special event on November 1st. It's our art opening gala. We're going to have live music, food, and a multimedia presentation. That event starts at 6 p.m. The next day, we are also going to be releasing our newest publication, the Diverse Minds North State Journal 2018, at our journal release party at 4 p.m. on November 2nd. We're going to be having some speakers, including Behavioral Health Director Dorian Kittrell. We're going to have readings from people who are in the book.
What a great way to use the arts. Thank you both.
That's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.